Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, here we go. Fresh off a weekend. What's going on, everybody? Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Serta with you. And yes, 1 month from today, NFL, Chiefs, Texans open it up out at Arrowhead. And certainly that is the plan at this point. We will talk plenty in about 15 minutes about college football. The Big Ten, everybody looking at them right now. Are they going to be the one that starts the domino effect of there not being a fall college football season? Or is the Big 12 and the SEC just going to say, you know what? We don't care what you're doing, Big Ten. We're going to do our own thing. That's the big question right now. And really, what has changed in the last couple of days to where we went from the Big Ten releasing a schedule to now all of a sudden the Big Ten talking about a majority of their institutions not wanting to play college football? So we'll talk about that. We'll also have Kevin McGuire, a national college football writer for Athlon Sports, joining us at 11 o'clock. But the Royals, what a difference a weekend makes, a week makes overall. A week ago on the show, man, we were saying, all right, got to find a way to finish 500 during the week. And now mathematically, they either had to finish one game under or above. Because
and then they lost three straight after that, like, after you said that.
Yeah, I'm like, well, that's not looking all that hot. So what do? The offense comes alive. The pitching stays the way it has, which has been very good. And they now have a four-game winning streak. And that's what's so much fun about this season. And I think before the season even started, we were saying, you know what? You'll leave the show on a Friday, and you'll come back on a Monday. And good or bad, you're going to say, wow, you're either right back in the thick of things, or you potentially cost yourself a season just based off of a weekend. Normally, you say that's crazy. It's a weekend series. But that's how monumental each series is. And you come in, and suddenly the offense is hitting the way that maybe we thought they would early on in the season. And oh yeah, they've got Hunter Dozier back. So it was stay afloat, stay around 500. In fact, they gained a game last week. They were four games under. Now they're three games under. And so suddenly the vibe around this Royals organization is so much different, because now the offense has figured it out, it appears.
Now they still have seven more games against the Twins in their next, 10 games? So yeah, I mean, it's not over by any means as far as how many games they have remaining in those teams. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to bite yet. And the reason why I'm not going to bite yet, I want to be like Hope Harrison in the afternoon. I like to be optimism guy, right? I mean, I'm certainly not saying I can't be that. But as a lifetime Royals baseball watcher, one thing I can tell you is they get the three-game sweep against the team in first.
Uh-huh.
And then lose to, the Pirates. And I know they don't have the Pirates on the schedule, right? So I'm not saying...
I wish they had them. They got three wins on the season, the Pirates do. I wish we didn't
have... Royals had three wins on the season before they went out and swept the Twins and altered where they are in the season. So in a lifetime of watching this, yeah, but I got to be honest, the Twins are playing like the best team in baseball, and they mostly beat them with pitching. Like, I can brag about the offense because they had that 13-run win against the Cubs where they came alive. But in two of the wins against the Twins, they scored just three and four runs. That's not a lot. And won both of those games before their pitching. And the one game they had to slug it out against the Twins, they did. They slugged it out against the Twins and dropped nine on them. In a game where Duffy was giving up shots, just like the Royals offense, what, they had four or five home runs in that game to go with it. And I know that it's in a small sample size, it's easy to increase your figures. So if you have one 9-run game and one 13-run game, it certainly changes it. But all of a sudden you stare down the Royals being third in all of baseball in team batting average, third in baseball. 19th in on-base percentage. You might say, well, that's not good. But that's that they were 28th last week. They're fifth in baseball in slugging. Only behind, and you should probably know some of these names, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Padres, who were off to a really good start this season, if you're just saying the Padres, who cares? And the Orioles, who were off to a better start than we expect, and also play in a Cracker Jack box. So not exactly the smallest thing. And then OPS, on-base plus slugging, they're eighth. And that's after being so bad in the on-base game and first in the division. Ahead of, you know, the slugging Twins or the White Sox, who fit well at times. So, I mean, the offense actually came along. I'm just not ready to buy in yet because, you know,
another week. Let's say they go through this week and
again, 500.
Today, unfortunately, it's an off day, but they're playing so well. And you're like, dang it, that's not what you want when you want the off day. But they do have an off day today. They actually have another one on Thursday. So 2 days off this week. And so they already are back to full strength now with Hunter Dozier back in the lineup, and he came through right away. But you look at where they're at this week and what you're saying they need to accomplish. Because for me, it was last week as about getting to 500 as far as have a 500 week until Dozier gets back, until you kind of get this thing solidified. And now they've done that. They accomplished that and they gained a game, in fact, on it. So now this week it's about going out and continuing for another full week. Now that you're back in full force, can you carry over what you did over the weekend? Because, you know, on Thursday and into Friday, after the bats came alive in that final game against the Cubs, it was like, all right, that's nice, but will that carry over into a weekend series against the Twins where you need to have the offense? And it certainly did. So now the question is, you had an off day. Does that offense and everything follow you to Cincinnati, a Cincinnati team that I would say overall has probably been a little disappointing compared to maybe where people thought they would be? They also don't have Moose. So if you were trying to get a glimpse of Mike Moustakas, it looks like he's not going to be available for this series. And then it's the Twins again.
And actually, they do pay the Pirates. I don't know what I was thinking. They play
in the NL Central. A little bit later on, yeah, in the NL Central. So the Pirates right now seems like a nice opponent to have on your schedule. Very nice opponent to have
text line, yes.
But I look at it, and this week is another one. Okay, just they don't need to go and sweep the Twins again. Have another week where you gain a game closer to 500. You gain two games closer to 500. But if you really want to get excited,
and it's easier this week because you play two less times. So
you do. But also, if you want to have excitement, talking about big time excitement on Friday heading into that Twins series, you go out and you win this series against the Cincinnati Reds, and all of a sudden you position yourself where you're in the middle of the division, because not technically, they are still in last place in the AL Central, but they're 7-10. They're only three games under 500. If they're a game under 500 heading into the Twins series, that just changes the entire dynamic of how we start having to look at them, I think.
17 games doesn't seem like a lot, because it isn't a lot in a normal season. But we're talking about almost a third of the way through the season. That's 28% of the way through the season we are right now. We are past the quarter pole. And whether I'm like bought in or not, and I've got some reservations, admittedly, the Royals are a game and a half out of a playoff spot. Do you realize that?
Thank you, expanded playoffs. Love it.
Well, and the game they're behind have played three. They're game and a half back, three games back in the loss column of the Baltimore Orioles, who have played three less games than them, which seems kind of remarkable. They've only played three less, considering, you know, they had to get shut down for a brief period of time. There are no Cardinals, who have what, like five games on the season, out here admitting that they maybe rushed it a little too soon before coming back, had more positive tests, have had more games canceled. And now if they were to start after the series that's supposed to be canceled, have to play 55 games in 49 days. If the Royals can avoid like more positives or can avoid major injury, they're actually going to stack up against some better opponents. Because this next week, like I know you're saying like, hey, do even better than that. I'm good. They play four against the Reds, two on the road that start tomorrow, two on the road next week, the same, like Tuesday, Wednesday, and then they play the Twins four more times in between. By next Thursday, if they could just get through that series, and I get they got three more at home against the Twins that following week, so like that Monday the 24th, so we're talking 2 weeks from today. If they could just split those next seven games and then even lose two out of three against the Twins, they're still going to be a game and a half, two games back, and then the schedule gets more reasonable, where you play a Cardinals team who's either going to be ice cold because they haven't played in weeks or have barely started to play and are getting ready to play every day forever for eternity. Then the Indians and White Sox, not bad teams, but teams you can win against in your division. Pirates, Tigers, then the Cardinals again, who at that point, and then the Tigers again. Like, September, the September part of their schedule really isn't bad. They play the Pirates 3 times, the Tigers 6 times, and the Cardinals 3 times, who at the end of September will be going through ending an absolutely brutal stretch. Now, that's what we're talking about. Like, hey, can they get through August and still be in contention? Because that's what we asked ourselves. The answer is maybe.
Sure.
It still relies a lot on what they can do against the Twins for these next six, seven games.
It does. It's hard for me to even look at September yet because so much, whether it's because of COVID or anything else, so much changes on a weekly basis.
God.
Like, a week and a half ago,
the week thing, it feels like.
Totally,
yeah.
Because all of a sudden, we've seen how many games the Cardinals have had to miss. And then you're like, oh, the Marlins season's done. Well, then the Marlins have actually come back and they've been playing very good baseball since they've started up their games again. So it seems like this schedule's going to lay out this way. It is changing way too often. Who could have predicted, this is what's fun about baseball, who could have predicted the Royals going and sweeping the Minnesota Twins the way they were playing their series against the Cubs at the time? So we can look at this and say, oh, this is going to shape up nicely, or this is going to be a tough stretch. And truly, this year you have to throw so much of what you typically would agree with or acknowledge when it comes to figuring out the schedule. But it was awesome to watch. Enjoyable baseball. No doubt over the weekend, and we'll talk more about the pitching too, because that continues. That you have the offense, but with the pitching falter, and to this point now they've got both working for them, which is why they're able to win 4 games in a row. You got the pitching and you've got the timely hitting, and they were
two big games on offense and two normal games on offense where they pitched better than the other
heading into Sunday. They walked like 11 times in the Twins heading into Sunday's game. Even they're just more patient at the plate, clearly have the confidence back. Hunter Dozier right away had an impact. He was up in an RBI situation. What does he do? He knocks into that kind of, and that carries down for the rest of the lineup. And Franco, who I'll be honest, at the beginning of the season I was like, between the defense
he's
and
still boomy and busty,
he is, but I can live with it if he's gonna have kind of the power that he's shown. I can live with that more if he's going to come up and do what he's done overall, which is kind of that bounce and what has the more home runs. They're tied for the most home runs by third baseman in baseball right now. So
there was a stretch over this weekend that he was tied for the major or in the major league lead for extra base hits. So not just home runs, but home runs, doubles, triples, however you want to look at that. So like a real OPS situation where, like, what he does, he's tied for the major league lead in doubles. Okay, that's real, right? I mean, okay. I'm listening, and he's still putting the ball out of the yard occasionally. So if he's going to be that, because he's got 4 homers, which is, half the major league lead, because Aaron Judge just keeps smacking homers, and so does Fernando Tatis. But it's, if he's at the bottom of your lineup, fine, Gold. Like, I'll take a guy who just is strikeout or extra bases every time he comes to the plate. If he's hitting seventh, that's what they lacked last year. Last year, seventh was 3 guys who couldn't put the ball over the fence for a majority of the season or didn't do it nearly often enough, and then also didn't do small ball contact, run base, they didn't do any of the extra stuff you need him to do. If Franco's going to come up, and sometimes with runners on, he'll strike out, but sometimes he'll hit a double, we're good. We're good, Franco. We can live our lives that way. And they got enough depth at the outfield positions that I feel like they can handle themselves. And even like a guy like Nicky, who was struggling, has hit better. So it's a much better lineup than it has been here in the first few weeks of the season. But still, they won 2 games. Of the 4 games they won 2 with pitching. Power bullpen, good enough starts, timely runs, and pitching. That's still how they got 2 of those games done this weekend.
Royals have today off in the 2-game series against the Reds, and then another day off on Thursday before starting up a 3-game series yet again with the Minnesota Twins. But Royals, winners of 4 in a row. Thinking of off days, are there going to be a bunch of off days for college football? That news over the weekend. Now it's looking like more and more that at least the Big Ten Conference is perhaps leaning to not having a fall football season. The MAC went ahead over the weekend on Saturday and canceled its fall football season. Now, multiple reports say the Big Ten is moving toward a decision to cancel its fall season, and it seems like trying to get all these other Power 5 conferences on board. But I think what we're seeing is something that was brought up last week, which was not only the Pac-12, but remember the Big Ten, their players had formed kind of this coalition, if you will, together to push for not just the obvious and what should be just automatic health, safety, sure, guidelines where they feel safe to play, but also they were pushing for some other things, including even compensation, among others. and putting forward more leverage or using that leverage, putting forward the power that they had more than ever. How much of this is actually safety and COVID that a season might get canceled? I think it's a high percentage, but how much is it conference commissioners and the NCAA actually fearful of this? Because
are you
the Pac-12, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are the two conferences that most reports now say are the two conferences leaning most to canceling the fall football season. What do they have in common? The Pac-12 started,
the players have
formed a coalition. Group. The Big Ten has formed a coalition, forcing players to play. Now, they can opt out, but forcing them to play and having these working conditions, you notice the word working, it makes them seem more like employees, which is something we know that would change the entire college football and collegiate sports model. That's something I think perhaps is even more fearful to conference presidents and commissioners, I should say, than the actual loss of revenue. It's that they potentially could have long-term loss in revenue and having to make some situations. The players have plenty of leverage right now. This is a way to halt some of it. I think it's a combination of both.
It's a little down the conspiracy rabbit hole for me for college football. The idea that they hate so badly the idea of admitting any kind of professionalism in their sport that they would straight up just cancel the season rather than slowly admit it between those two conferences. I can't deny that there is. It's, but there's only five and only have two people on board to cancel so far. So it's hard for me to directly compare the two. What is obvious is college football is never going to be the same again. Like, this is it. When it comes back, if it comes back or if this cancels, it's going to be the same again. I will say this first. I don't want college football not to play. It's bad for me when sports don't happen. I don't know why I have to keep saying this, but that's the reality.
Well, it's because Danny Cannell and Joel Klatt continue to float that theory
obviously
over the weekend. That's exactly why you said it. Yes.
But they're probably making the right call not playing football. It's not. Player safety has never been at the height of college football. They've never cared particularly about player safety, and they haven't even made it perfectly clear that they care about player safety this time through. I am still surprised they're willing to go through it. I told you last week, like, I don't know how college football is even going to happen. None of it ever makes sense. And yet I just assumed they'd power through and play college football. But now finally you're seeing conferences wake up. According to Dan Patrick this morning, 10 of 12 Big Ten coaches yesterday had voted to cancel the season. The only two were abstaining, or not abstaining, they were voting to play, were Iowa and Nebraska. Not surprising that that was the result. But you get it. Like, here's the thing about this. While I think it's probably in the player and health safety protocols best to not have college football be played, and we're waiting to hear out what those things are going to happen. And by the way, Iowa canceled today's practice because they're awaiting word today. It actually would be pretty beneficial to be a conference that chose to play. Like, the rumors are the SEC's down. Like, they're down to do it. They'll play. They'll spend the money it takes to play. And all they're trying to do is recruit the other Power 5 schools who haven't decided to walk away to come down the loony bin with them, because they can't be the only one standing. They feel like they'd look kind of too terrible in that scenario. But if it's 3 of 5, look, we're part of the majority who is doing it. So I understand why. I'm not so sure there's going to be a domino. I think people see Big Ten's going to go down, Pac-12 goes down, Big 12, ACC, SEC are right after. And I think that there's still some sway in the SEC to make that not take place.
And those three conferences don't have any players directly pushing forward as vocal as we've seen from the Big Ten and from the Pac-12. I think that's part of this as well. And yes, there's an opportunity for all these conferences, or the three that are left, to go ahead and play and certainly make the Big Ten look bad. And ultimately, I know what, you know, some people believe that it's going to end college football this season, whether it's 2 weeks from now or whether it's tomorrow or whatever, that they all end up with the same result, the same conclusion. But the Big Ten is going to be the conference, it appears, maybe the Pac-12 as well, that's going to take the criticism from a lot of people. If in fact they're the first to cancel, they're gonna go ahead and take that for everybody else. Maybe that's the route that this is headed as well. Otherwise, yes, if you are the Big 12 and the SEC, there's a great opportunity for you just in terms of eyeballs. Yeah, in terms of eyeballs. As long as you can, again, safely
you
do
can
this.
Prove that guys.
Can you safely do that? Because it's weird to me, though, that all of a sudden from the college football player route during all of this, and we saw late, like at midnight last night, Trevor Lawrence put out a tweet, and it was also this graphic they put up, and it's like now all the Power Five players are trying to unite a little bit, which then I'm like, wow, the group. So they're like, screw the group of five. We're not really concerned about you, apparently, is the mentality, I guess, of even the student athlete at the Power Fives. But the whole, well, we want to play. Who has ever said, I don't know where that came from. It worked in baseball, like when and where, because there were people who thought baseball players didn't want to play. Where did this come from where the college football player, Trevor Lawrence and others, have gone forward and said, we want to play? Who has ever said that college football players are the ones not wanting to play?
No.
By the way, nobody doesn't not want to play. It is
also,
you want to play.
Safety in your workplace does not mean you don't want to go or don't want to play. You're just asking for it to be safe.
Yeah, I just don't know where the whole like that doesn't make any sense to me though.
You should just do it. But that's the other part about the way college works is even if you want to play, we put things in place to protect you. Right? There are a lot of NFL, college, high school, middle school kids who would play with a concussion, right? Happily play with a concussion. Or partially broken arm, or all the things we've seen football players play through. But the reason why you don't let them play with those is for their own safety. Like sometimes it's a lot like parenting or anything like that. I mean, you can't just allow people to make all their own decisions for themselves when it comes to those types of situations. But no one's ever said college football players don't want to play. So to say we want to play, I'm guessing just their way of saying, please don't cancel the college football season on us. Even though there were coalitions signed, that doesn't mean we don't want to play. We do. Please don't put that on us. The college football programs or conferences themselves are the ones who are going to get blamed for this anyway. Big Ten probably first because they'd be the first to go.
I do think there's some validity, though, to there's like four or five tweets that Trevor Lawrence at Clemson sent out. And he's the most notable player in college football. And so these are very important tweets for him. You know,
sure.
It's something that's going to resonate. Here we are. We're talking about them. But he said people are at just as much, if not more risk, if we don't play. Players will all be sent home to their own communities where social distancing is highly unlikely and medical care and expense will be placed on the families if they were to contract COVID-19. He went on talking about like how it's a better environment. I do think there's some truth to that. There's what pandemic or not, there are plenty of college athletes, football, you name the sport. Well, we're talking about football today, though. And they are in a much better situation. Both I'm talking about meals. I'm talking about living conditions. Everything.
This is the argument for schools.
Pre COVID.
Sure.
For these football players to be there, I think there's some truth to that. Versus going back, like if they are going to be in a college football bubble, essentially on campus. I'm not talking about the whole sport. I'm talking about you're the Clemson player. You're the KU or K-State player, and you're on campus. You're within your football group. You're in a bubble. You're getting tested on a daily basis. Nowhere else is doing that.
Testing daily on their college, but you get
two or three times a week, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, so two or three times a week. I don't know about you. Are you getting tested two or three times a week? I'm not. So
nope.
Okay, so like that is a better atmosphere. I think there is at least parts of that are valid. That all right? If you don't have a college football season, that you are also potentially putting some of these individuals in worse positions than they would be if you were actually trying to play through a bubble. But so much of it is, I think, liability too throughout this. A lot of it is these schools and presidents are worried about the liability of having student athletes and with COVID. And I know people are going to respond and talk about, you know, they're going to be asymptomatic, they're going to be fine and all this, but there's still the liability question. All it takes is one player, you know, that unfortunately would end up in a hospital or on a ventilator. As unlikely as that may be, it just takes one. Big 10, Big 12 pushes forward, Cody, and they're playing football, and one player ends up in the hospital, or God forbid, passes away from it. Like but those are the liability type of questions that they have to think about. Worst case scenario type of stuff.
I think the only problem is that the guys that lives within that, like, hey, they'll be safer. I'm not saying in some circumstance that will be a case, but it then pretends that college football's main priority is player safety, and that just hasn't ever been the case. Like, I mean, you can make this argument, the Big Ten, by canceling their football program, could say, look, we're doing this for the safety of others. Like, we're doing this for the safety. And Lawrence is saying more people, like, in his argument, they're like, more people will be at risk.
Yeah,
like,
that part, okay, I don't agree with that part.
Dial that back. And it's not, we always pretend like it's just players. Do we know what it takes to run a stadium, a game, a day, like there is a lot that goes into those things that isn't just that. And I know you're saying like, well, how many stadium people do they need if there's no people? Okay, I've been out to a Royals game. I'm not saying it's a lot, but there's still someone in the booth, and there's a guy over by the gate to take deliveries, and there were three people standing by where I checked in, and then there were two more ushers who were sitting there. And it's like, I get it. You're not saying it's like
ushers for who? There's nobody to usher to the seats.
Just to make sure, like, there's a lady sitting at the top of the stairs next to the rope thing for the photographers
I would.
And then there's another employee down there. And I get it, you know.
I would counter with that. Like, we're going to work. Other people are going to work. Like, you're just like the individual employees. Now you're not even talking about the college football player. You're talking about the random worker that's just trying to earn a living. Like, that. Everybody else that's listening is in the same boat with that.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not saying, like, those people don't want the work, because clearly they do, or don't want. But, like, that's... We always pretend like the only people at risk by playing college sports are athletes, and that's just not true.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.